Our slogan for this morning is goodbye privacy, welcome publicity. So today we want to go a step further and focus not on the private but on the public. Before we go into details, I want to remind you that our talks will be in English and in German, so if you need translations, please get the headsets. They are at the entrance area. I want to introduce you to Armin Medosh. He's author, curator and artist. He was co-founder and editor of the online magazine Telepolis. He designed the postgraduate program Network Media Environment at Ravensbourne College in London, and he published several books. At the moment, he's not only writing about the hacker's way of learning and working, he's also very much into learning himself to use these tools and to create a platform himself. The next layer is the name of a new project which wants to analyze and to discuss the developments around and beyond the Web 2.0 hype.
Thank you, Ina. Now I would like to introduce Ina Zwerger for those who haven't been here yesterday. We are repeating our introductions. Ina is working at the science department of Austrian Broadcast Corporation, ORF, Radio 1, Ö1. She has learned radio from the bottom up and has, since she began, made many, many, many radio programs. So her voice must be very familiar to Austrian radio listeners. Ina has for years been editor-in-chief of the net culture program Metrix and now has switched to being editor-in-chief of the flagship program Radio Collect. Ina has also been hosting the BRICS Ask conferences here for the last 3 years, so she is also, in that sense, a familiar face at Ars Electronica. We are now going to introduce the sort of overview and concept for you. That's why we're going to sit down, and because this will take a few minutes. We started yesterday by discussing the value of privacy and also by proposing a sort of terminological framework within which the discussion can happen. In this respect, we have already established, I hope, an understanding that we are far from predicting the end of privacy. Everything that starts with the end of is usually just a simplistic, sensational slogan, and the truth is usually more complex than that. For instance, the end of art has been predicted so many times, and art is pretty much well and alive. What we try to say is that, for instance, it depends very much how we define privacy. If privacy is the right of the patriarch to rule with absolute power at home, then it's really, I think, good to say goodbye privacy. That's the sort of privacy, maybe, which we don't need. If privacy is a personal informational sphere, then it's also quite easy to see how this is punctuated and how it has really become difficult to protect it, to control that information in a traditional sense. So concepts such as contextual integrity presented by Helen Nissenbaum or the identity provision services summarized under the slogan Identity 2.0 maybe show a promise of how we could manage privacy issues better in the future. If privacy is that what is just all too human, if that what is really just the private, the almost the intimate, then maybe there is some other issue with that. As Hannah Arendt has pointed out many years ago, that in the sort of traditional definition of privacy in the Athenian democracy, the private life was a basis for leading a public life. But the understanding of what is a good life was to have a public life. It was about being out there in the marketplace, dealing, having political talks, discussing, participating in this public life. The private life was just about sort of arduous tasks of keeping up biological existence. So maybe there's also a flaw in that system as it privileged man and property owning class. But when we look at that and take that as sort of starting point, we can see how much we have changed. Now, the private life is the ultimate ideal. There is this hedonistic ideal of private consumption as the sort of ultimate good life, interestingly. So, to sum it up, maybe we have not to fear so much for our privacy as such, but for the quality of public life. And that's the theme for today.
One of our big inspirations for this conference was Richard Sennett, and I really want to recommend his book, The Fall of Public Man, which he published in the middle of the 1970s. And in this book, he describes the so-called intimate society and the development of the so-called tyranny of intimacy. This approach was very important for our concept because normally people, as Armin mentioned already, talk about the end of privacy or the end of intimacy. Sennett's book is turning this idea upside down. Richard Sennett is American, and I think he's one of the world's most famous social theorists. At the moment, he's also professor at the London School of Economics, and Armin and I, we were very lucky to meet him in July. We visited him in London and had the chance to ask him a few questions about the relevance of his theories in the internet age. And for illustrating, and I want to play three parts of this interview, and the first question was, so he illustrated how the private is swapping over the public, and he compared the rhetorics of politicians in the 18th and in the 21st century. So please
listen.
The
rhetoric of politicians in the 18th century seldom uses the words, I believe. It is my strong conviction. It's more impersonal, but the passion is in the it, not in the me. What we get a lot of in the 21st century, which is what the politician wants to convey, is the fact that he personally is so deeply convinced of something. And what he wants the public to do is to submit to him because he's showing personal conviction. So that's a real change in the nature of what's being communicated. The emphasis is on the I rather than the it. And in politics, that has a terrible consequence, and people respond to it. I mean, in this country, people responded to the fact that Blair was convinced that it was a good thing to go to war. Many people initially followed him simply because of the strength of his own conviction, even though they themselves harbored great doubts.
Richard Sennett wrote his book about the tyranny of intimacy long before the internet, as we know it now, was even thought. And we asked him what he thinks about the massive culture of self-revealing on the web.
I sometimes think when I go into these blogs where people, you know, present every aspect of their kind of intimate life online, what it is almost like tipping garbage into a trash can, which happens to be a computer. That you're emptying yourself out, you know? And that it's a kind of catharsis. The things you really care about, you would treat with more care than this kind of endless reporting of the details of everyday experience. I mean, I had no idea of this when I was writing my book, but I was glad the book is prophetic, but I was sad about the kind of prophecy that it makes, because this is, it's a kind of vast wasteland of confession that fills up these blogs. And I can't believe that these confessions have much weight by being so fulsome, so endless. The chat rooms I like are chat rooms in which people ask each other questions. They're not so numerous as the chat rooms that, you know, put pictures of your dog, you know, the operation on your foot, all of that sort of stuff online. So it's been a kind of dual experience for me that this book has named something that was only going to get worse, but that what it's named is awful.
At the same time, Richard Sennett is very much aware of the new chances these tools for self-publishing, like blogs and social software, are offering. His answer to our question, do you think there is a new public life arising?
Well, of course a new public life could evolve out of it. It's a great technology. It's, I guess what I'm saying to you is that so far, we've used a very old way of making culture with these new technological means. We've made the equivalent of intimate society just using electronic means. But of course it doesn't need to be that way. I am very technophilic, you know. I think this is really an exciting using the web. But we have to experiment with how to best do that. I mean, I've been interested, for instance, in Wikipedia, which is, as you know, a community that's struggling with the problem of how do you get open access and maintain quality? How do we go about getting them right? That's a technical challenge, but it's also a social challenge. And, you know, in the practice of dealing with that, I think you really develop forms of public life.